Welcome to Tribe of Two, the officially unofficial podcast for The Mandalorian on Disney Plus. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're back with a preview for season three. It's about to launch here in about a week, and we want to get ahead of it because, boy, this has been a weird off season for The Mandalorian. A long off season for The Mandalorian.
For Star Wars.
And Star Wars, yeah. The Mandalorian in particular, it's been since 2020, since this thing had a season. Not quite pre-pandemic, but I feel like the world has changed. TV has changed. Star Wars has changed. Everything's changed since The Mandalorian was on TV, including The Mandalorian itself, which is weird to say, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. I gotta say the end of Book of Boba felt like the end of Empire Strikes Back. You know, we were on board the hospital frigate. I had kissed my sister. You lost your arm. We were like wondering if this is all worth it, this whole rebellion, this whole Star Wars TV project. Mm-hmm. The Empire had struck back and struck back good. And my Star Wars fandom was at an all-time low. And then,
yes,
A New Hope, Andor.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a club member and you missed all this, or you want to pay $5 and get some cool free cool premium content, we talked a lot about Andor on our Off the Clock show because we were skeptical that it'd be good. We started watching about mid season and fell in love with it. That was a real shot in my Star Wars fan arm, I gotta say. I'm not certain we would be here talking into these microphones about this show had it not been for Andor.
Yeah, because we had the exact opposite experience. You know, if you've been a follower of this feed for a while, with Book of Boba Fett, that was not exactly up to our standards. But it's kind of essential. Okay, here's the weird thing about The Mandalorian. Let's say some people are just the fans of The Mandalorian. And they watch anything with The Mandalorian name on it. You are going to be very confused by the opening of season three here. I assume they'll have a recap, so that it'll probably catch you up, but we're going to do some of that here and talk about a little bit of the stuff that I view as like Mandalorian season 2.5 that happened in the Book of Boba Fett, because there was a whole arc with Mandalorian over there.
I'm curious to see how they handle it too, because on the Marvel side, I'm starting to get a handle on how they're dealing with the show movie tight coordination as we see more and more of these films. And it seems like that the Marvel films are designed to be able to be enjoyed if you don't watch any of the television shows. And I wonder if they're going to do this in such a way that the people who skip Boba Fett will just kind of like roll with the punch and move on, or they're just going to assume that everybody that's on Mando, Team Mando, was also watching Book of Boba Fett, which is a pretty safe bet. I'm very curious to see how they handle this over on this side of the mouse.
Yeah. So far, they seem like they want you to watch both.
Of course
they want you to watch everything. Bad Batch, all of it. We're going to talk a little bit about the season three trailer, obviously, and what we've got upcoming for this latest season. Maybe talk about some of the things we're excited about, and then maybe our coverage plans for this season. So maybe we should start with how season two of The Mandalorian ended. If you're only familiar with that show, they had the big climax where Luke came in on Moff Gideon's ship and took Grogu away to become a Jedi, to go train. During that process, Moff Gideon was captured, not killed. And Bo-Katan, who wanted the Darksaber, was very disappointed to learn that Mando had grabbed that saber before her. And now the only way she can win it back is to fight him and take it back. Otherwise, it's not official. No one will follow her. So, and then there's, you know, something Boba Fett. So that was the end of Mandalorian season two. Now, much has happened since then. In the Book of Boba Fett, and if you don't want spoilers, if you want to watch this stuff, pause it now. Go watch the last like three episodes of the Book of Boba Fett and then come back. Grogu is no longer in training to be a Jedi with Luke. There was a whole arc where like Mando had this chainmail Beskar suit that he sent with Ahsoka to give to Luke, to give to Grogu. And that happened. And then Grogu was really distracted by missing Mando. And so Luke gave Grogu a choice: stay here and train as Jedi or go back to Mando. And he chose Mando. So that's kind of up to speed on the status of Grogu.
Your thought, did we ever talk, I mean, we probably did in Boba Fett, but like your thoughts on the return of Grogu, like not even a season of the Mando just being the Mandalorian.
I think it's smart of them. Like, that's what people want, right? They don't want the Mandalorian show. It's baked in as like Mando and Grogu.
I feel it's a missed opportunity to not have some more solo Mando content, because we've only really gotten like what, in 2.5 episodes of solo Mando.
Mm-hmm.
But you're probably right, from just a purely marketing, the, you know, how popular Grogu is, et cetera, et cetera. You're probably
totally
right.
I mean, it was also cool to see him with Luke. I really love that, but I bet it was kind of expensive and difficult, time consuming and stuff, to put Luke on the screen, because obviously he was a de-aged Luke. So yeah, having him back with Mando makes a lot of sense. He's back with Mando in the capacity of like an astromech droid, because they picked up, obviously, right. If you remember, the Razorback gets blown up, or sorry, Razorcrest gets blown up in The Mandalorian season 2. So he has no ship anymore. Well, that was fixed in Book of Boba Fett, where he got one of the N1 starfighters, which is the ships that you see from the Naboo military in Phantom Menace. And there's a perfect, it is a one seater, but there's space for an astromech. And I think Grogu is kind of inhabiting that space for the moment. He won't be transporting any bounties in that ship, I can say that much. But it looks like season 3 will not be so bounty focused.
It can't be, because there's literally no place to put bounties on this. This is the
Could
one
weakness. Could you tow somebody in carbonite with just like a rope off the back of the ship in space?
Maybe just to go like
through the atmospheres.
Or maybe they'll have like, you know, how some of the Republic starfighters had that docking ring. He'll have a docking ring he leaves in orbit that has all of his bounty hunter shit on it.
I can see just like a cat of nine tails hanging out behind him with like 15 different bounties frozen in carbonite.
It's a wild progression, though. It's like being a dad and having this beat up but reliable minivan with plenty of space in it to raise a family. And then you go through a midlife crisis and fuck it, I'm getting a vet. It's going to be me and the boy and his baby carriage is going to end the vet.
Totally. Yeah, so we'll see. I know how they'll deal with that. They just won't have him collecting bounties anymore. He's no longer a bounty hunter. He's the Mandalorian. The other thing that happens in Book of Boba Fett is, as you might recall, like I said, Mando has the Darksaber at this point. It's kind of attached to him. So he kind of learns how to wield it. He's not great with it. Apparently, you have to like believe in this sword for it to do anything. I don't know. So it's a little weird. But yeah, he's getting better with it. He's kind of learning how to wield it. We'll see. That'll probably progress here in the third season. But he, along the lines of getting his Darksaber skills, he also revealed that he's taken his helmet off a couple of times, and he's been outcast for that, essentially. They told him he's not a Mandalorian, and in order to become a Mandalorian again, which I think he really wants, he's got to go bathe in the waters of Mandalore. So it looks, based on the trailer, that's going to be a big focus of this next season.
Or he could just roll with the Mandalorians and don't give a shit about that kind of thing.
That too.
Which is, that is the key conceit from this season I'm super interested in. The juxtaposition of the Mandalorian being raised in this weird little Mandalorian cult, this insular thing that you know, forbids people from having all these connections even to your own identity, and then him getting exposed to more cosmopolitan, shall we say, Mandalorians are like, not showing your face. What kind of crazy shit is that?
Secular Mandalorians.
Yeah, and the whole idea of, like, you know, there'd be a struggle for this this guy's soul, you know, like, what is real? What does he believe in? What does he put his faith in? What are the things that are important? What are the things you can let go? Is there anything? Yeah, I'm very interested in the cult of Mandalore aspect of this.
Yeah, so we can switch over to, like, season 3 in the trailer now. I feel like that's going to be, boy, are they going to lean into that? Because the real thing that they've set up here is a clash between Bo-Katan and Mando. I think that's going to be more the focus. Like, he's going to go to Mandalore to try and redeem himself, and there he will meet Bo-Katan, who's hell-bent on taking that sword from him.
Yeah, and there's that shot of her sitting on some sort of throne, like, heavy, wears the crown. I wonder if that is, like, her gearing up to do this, or, like, maybe she's taken it from him and feels bad. I don't know.
He didn't want it. Right? That's the thing. Yeah. He doesn't want this saber. He tried to give it back to her, but by religious custom, he is unable to.
We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was, and those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim, order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar, then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Our coverage of Hot D, Fire and Blood, and the 1980s Shogun miniseries continues. But then on Tuesday, for the first time in 35 years, we asked a question. Who framed Roger Rabbit? Hop aboard the train to Toontown as we revisit this incredible blending of live action and animation to see if it still holds up all this time later.
Then on Wednesday, we get our first look at Blake Crouch's mind-bending sci-fi series, Dark Matter. First two episodes drop simultaneously on Apple TV Plus, and we'll have a pair of podcasts quantumly linked ready for you to observe.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
And now, back with more Bald Move. What happens if the person who wields it dies of natural causes and it just kind of falls into a gutter or something?
I don't know. There's probably some kind of Harry Potter rule for this, you know, like it goes back to the last person to be defeated him or something. It's always a little tricky. And there's the interesting. So you've got these. It's so funny because you've got, you know, like we said, the cosmopolitan Mandalorians believing in their own little probably silly myth. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Of course, the thing is like with Star Wars, you can't ever say that these myths are silly because there is some kind of physical, spiritual force invisible that binds us and guides us and does all. There is definitely a realm of something in this saber that does act this way, but also sometimes people, I mean, even the Jedi didn't have their understanding of the Force entirely dialed in correctly.
And different interpretations, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. I'm curious to see if Bo-Katan's got it 100% right.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So I think Mando's quest is going to be a spiritual journey this year. Speaking of Jedi, the Jedi are just coming out of the woodwork in this trailer, in this universe, right? I mean, we're not that far after the fall of the Empire, the destruction of the second Death Star. And here we are with, you know, Luke coming in to grab Grogu, take him to a training facility. We've got four more Jedi in this trailer, I think. You've got Ahsoka. You've got a lot of Jedi just hanging around. I guess, like, in the grand scheme of things, seven Jedi is not considered a lot of Jedi. But it's enough for a council.
Yeah, it's a lot compared to where we were in the Old Republic.
Yeah.
And obviously, and these are students.
The Empire Strikes Back.
This is some Kevin J. Anderson shit happening.
Yeah, I assume so. I think it's kind of wild that they all have lightsabers, but I suppose. Another thing that I actually really liked in the trailer, and it's just a moment, it's a flash. Apparently there's a droid bar where they just serve droids. I don't know what droids are doing at a bar. Like, they're sucking up electricity, right?
I don't know, because, like, Star Wars droids are, in a at least certain part of the galaxy, second-class citizens, but they're also sentient beings who are capable of being tortured.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, maybe they do need... They're like the robots on Futurama. They need alcohol to make them go, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Like, to put up with the bullshit, they gotta be hammered. C-3PO never has translated a thing that he wasn't three sheets to the wind.
Mm-hmm. And there's going to have to be the obligatory "we don't serve your kind here" joke, right?
Got to.
When Mando walks into that bar.
Hey, meatbag.
Mm-hmm.
We don't serve your kind here. Yeah, it's got to.
It almost feels like that whole set piece is designed just for that joke. Apparently, Grogu's got his mojo back, too, because we see him in a cave just tossing around some kind of creature. Because last season, he was a little handicapped in that regard. He had been nerfed.
How did that happen?
I can't remember exactly how it happened. I think he used his powers one too many times or something.
Oh, because like it's something to do with him being imprisoned by that Moff Gideon, right?
Yeah. But he's back in action this time. Granted, it's not like the... Mud horn that he fought. It's not quite a creature that big, but right. It's pretty big.
Yeah. I would be interested in obviously if he spends time with Luke Skywalker, I know he didn't complete his training or whatnot, but look at the power up Luke got from just a couple weeks in Dagobah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see what the kid's got in him.
Yeah. See if he can lift any in-one fighters out of the mud.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of most of the stuff I wanted to talk about in the trailer. Just like little things I noticed. Obviously, we're about a week out. We're going to get to see this pretty soon. Is there anything else in the trailer that you were excited about or interested in?
Just a lot of sweet action, man. Like a lot of Mandalorians jumping out of high flying, aircraft and jetpacking through the ground. A lot of Mando kicking ass, there is that one scene where it looks like he's saying it to Moff Gideon, but with the magic of editing, who knows? Like, you know, I can bring you in warm, I can bring you in cold. I did think, like, where are you going to bring him? Maybe there's a frunk. Maybe the N1 Starfighter has a frunk that's just big enough for a humanoid carbonite block. But yeah. I am curious to see, you know, who's he bringing him into? You know, who is he going to bring him into? How did he get the bounty? Is this just like a, you know, personal grudge that he's adding a little his shtick to it to make it sick, to make it even sicker? I don't know.
Could be. I'm curious.
I'm excited to see the return of Moff Gideon, you know? I felt like I got robbed of Giancarlo Esposito out of season 3 of The Boys. Not nearly enough. Mm-hmm. So I'm wanting to get my fix.
Sure. Excited about that. I have not seen, aside from Mandalorian season 2, Katie Sackhoff do anything since like Battlestar Galactica. So I'm a big fan of hers. So
sure.
With her coming back, yeah, I'm super excited to see the showdown between the two, which I assume is going to be epic. And I want to see what Mandalore looks like. This is the first time I will have seen it depicted. I want to say it might have been depicted in Clone Wars or something, or some other show. I don't know. But yeah, I'm excited for that. Like this ancient planet that was once a huge power, but it just got bombed into oblivion. And they talk about it like it's under somebody's control right now. Like you have to go take it back. But I wonder if that's more of like a spiritual taking back, like reclaiming the land that has been just devastated and bringing her people back to congregate there again. Or if that's like literally we got to go in and take it from the Empire or some other force that now controls it.
Yeah. Yeah,
it seemed pretty thoroughly destroyed.
And I know that's the other thing I guess would be good to say is that our sensibilities are we are aging Gen Xers and elder millennials, and we haven't seen all the cartoons that I'm sure Mandalore has been depicted before. We haven't seen it in live action. I am fine with people sending it to mando@baldmove.com, those details in, and we can share with everybody. But like this is not the podcast that's going to go and go through all Dave Filoni's excellent clone. We're not doing all that. We are just taking the very real love that we've had of Star Wars. I haven't seen all of the Clone Wars, but I have literally read every Star Wars novel that was published before like 2001. So that's got to count for something, right? I played the old Westin D6 role-playing game that's out of print. That's got to, that's some...
All this stuff is out of print or disavowed by Disney at this point, so...
But no. It does show up from time to time, so...
Every once in a while, yeah.
Yeah, there's tons of YouTubes and podcasts that will give you all that the glitz and the glamour of the animated series, but if you want the old-school, deprecated Apocrypha... hazily remembered, then you have come to the right podcast, my friend.
Hey man, I'm here to talk about the quality of brand new television. That's what I'm here to talk about. And it just so happens it's in the Star Wars universe, which I've had affection for and rekindling my affection for. Thank you, Andor. And I'm hopeful. We'll see how it goes. This season
amazing.
Has the opportunity to be, let's say, better or more enjoyable for me than season 2 was.
Yeah, and honestly, this trailer looks and sounds amazing. That was one of, I think, the bigger sins of Boba Fett, is sometimes that show kind of looked ugly and stupid.
Occasionally.
Some of the production design was just dumb.
Yeah, those mopeds.
And Not my thing. We're reducing a lot to just those mopeds. There's a lot of questionable decisions in that fucking show. So yeah, but the Mando's never, it's like it always rules firmly with the rule of cool. So
And
you
it's
don't
a notch
do
above.
Dumb shit when you're following that rule.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk real quickly about our coverage plans. It's going to be pretty much the same, as it was last time. We're going to have our weekly recap episodes on Thursday afternoon, after the episode comes out. And I'm unsure how we'll handle feedback, if at all. We're right now covering two other shows, one of which we're doing 3 podcasts a week for, but that will change pretty soon. So it remains to be seen how we do feedback, but definitely send in your feedback. And if people do want to send feedback, where can they do that again?
Mando@baldmove.com.
Nice. All right. Well, I think we're going to leave it short and sweet here, unless you have anything else to say.
Nope. I'm looking forward to the first episode of the season, the premiere, and looking forward to seeing what y'all have to say about it.
Nice. All right. Well, that'll do it. We'll see you guys for the premiere next week. And until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. See ya.